Duncan McDougall sits the interesting man because of his work on soul weighing. And this is a story which, I mean, I've been told the story in a bunch of different ways, although his name is not always mentioned specifically.
Right.
Some people talk about it like it's something that just happened.
Yeah, they weighed a...
Yeah, they did, and that it's a fairly recent thing, and yeah, it's all a buzz in science. But really, it's about the story's about 100 years old.
Yeah, it was 1901 when he did it.
And tell the story, then, of Duncan McDougall and how this came about. Because he worked with a class of people which, you know, maybe at the time he could use for such an experiment, but today's modern ethics, medical ethics, would prevent this experiment.
That's right. And there was, I'll talk about later, there is a contemporary person who did try to get permission to do it. He didn't, and he used sheep instead, but we'll get back to him.
All right.
But Duncan McDougall, he was a doctor in Haverhill, Massachusetts, quite successful physician, and he just got it into his head. I mean, but if you read his accounts of it, he just he decided one day that the soul, if the soul has substance, and he thought it must surely have substance, then at the moment of death, the soul departs, and you would see a small decrease in weight of the individual. And Duncan McDougall, being a good man of science and medicine, thought, okay, well, there's a way we can do this. And he took a big scale, a silk scale specifically, for weighing silk, and a cot, and he affixed the cot onto the scale. And Duncan McDougall worked at it was called the Cullis Home for Consumptives, a lot of TB patients, tuberculosis patients, who were, you know, dying all the time. So he had sort of this ready supply of patients. He did say that he got their consent. And then when they were, you know, getting ready to die, I guess with TB, you can tell when somebody is, you know, approaching the end.
Well, I imagine, like in a lot of cases, you can hear the death rattle coming in the lungs and know that it's not that far away.
Right. So then they'd be shuttled into this other room, and they'd be installed on the cot. And every now and then, like there's one patient died just as they were putting him on the cot. So, you know, out of six patients, you know, quite a few of them had logistical problems,
right,
methodological problems. Anyway, but the very first patient that he put on the cot at the supreme moment, as Duncan terms it, the scale went down 3/4 of an ounce, a.k.a. 21 grams.
Right, the movie.
The movie.
Right.
Hollywood just, I think, metricized it because it sounds better. You know, you don't go to a movie called 3/4 of an ounce.
Right, it doesn't sound good.
No matter who's starring in it. And so, anyway, 3/4 of an ounce. There we go. And so he did six patients in all. And that was the only one where you had the really clean, okay, dead, tick, the scale goes down. The other five, things would happen such as, well, there was a small drop in weight, and then I zeroed the scale, but it didn't go back for another 15 minutes, which was weird. And another one where authorities came in and tried to, you know, disrupt the proceedings. There were a lot of people who didn't want him to do this this experiment. So that messed up another one. So the only clean data was this one individual. So, you know, you have... You know, not a very large subject population, but what, you know, okay, so that I'm focusing on this one person thinking, well, what happened? I actually even tracked down, there's a Fairbanks Museum. This is where they used to make Fairbanks scales, which is exactly what Duncan McDougall used. And I got the historian on the phone, and she actually faxed me the page from a 1906, you know, catalog that had this silk scale. And I said, well, is it something about putting a cot on there? Could that have screwed it up? Is there some, you know, is he lying about how sensitive it was? And she said, no, that's actually how sensitive it was. So she couldn't give me the answer that I wanted. Duncan McDougall wanted to do a lot more subjects, but the authorities, the unnamed authorities, stopped him. And he moved on to dogs. And this he did in his barn behind his house. And he did 15 dogs in all, and none of them evinced any drop at the time he euthanized them.
At the time that the dog took its last breath, the weight of the dog didn't go down.
Did not go down like it did
with that one human.
Yes. His interpretation is, well, according to the Bible, animals do not have eternal souls. Therefore, this makes sense. So, you know, to me, it would have been a large, big chunk of conflicting data, but it fit into his worldview. So,
right.
But he encouraged other researchers to take up the cause because he didn't feel, I don't think he felt entirely comfortable with his data set. However, he did come forth and, you know, it was published in American Medicine, 1907.
Legitimate peer-reviewed
yes.
publication, not the National Enquirer of its day.
No, this was a legitimate peer-reviewed, and he, the arguments going back and forth in letters to the editor, first of all, someone said, well, you lose control of your bladder and your sphincter, so obviously that's what it was. And he said, no, that's on the bed, too.
Right.
Yeah,
that's not going anywhere.
That's not going anywhere.
Right.
And then they said, well, it was the last breath, weighed 3/4 of an ounce. And here's the part, I love this. Dr. McDougall actually got onto the scale himself and breathed out as hard as he could while someone right. else watched the scale just to make sure that it wasn't the last breath. And then there was the theory that it was, not only your last breath, but, you know, you're always, not perspiring, but you're losing moisture through your pores. You know, it's
right.
very subtle and slow, transpiration, you would call it. So there was that theory, too. But he came back and rebutted all of them, which leads us then to say, well, so what was it? You know, I wish I could figure out exactly what. I mean, if I had to put my money somewhere, I would put my money on his scale with Hinky.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
But what's interesting about it is that, I mean, for all of the controls that he could put on the test at the time, he did, and that's what he came up with.
Mm-hmm.
And to take seriously, we can always wonder whether there was something about it which was off. What we do know is that no one's done the experiment since, partly because it's just, by today's medical standards, something you don't do with somebody who's dying. It doesn't show enough dignity, even
yeah.
to people that volunteer, for that to happen to them, right?
Yes, that's right.
They don't allow this to happen. There's an example in
right.
the book of somebody who tried to do that recently and just couldn't get it
yes.
together.
There was a man up in Bend, Oregon, I believe it was, who is a sheep rancher with a background in quantum mechanics.
How often does that happen?
Yeah, how many of those are there out there? So this gentleman was fascinated by Duncan McDougall's work. I don't know where he came across it, but he decided to euthanize some of his sheep. He had a large Toledo scale with a digital readout, and he put some load cells on there, and he had this whole thing, you know, rigged up in his barn, and he. How many sheep did he do? Under 20. I would have to look it up. And here's, you'll love this. This is what he found. At the moment of death, they gained a little bit of weight.